Yeah, we're holding Daf Peivam to Peivav Amral. We're going to solve the last Gemara we said yesterday. Omale, 3/4 down. Omale, Rav Papa le Rav Chama. Rav Papa came to Rav Chama and said to him, V'adai di Amrisu Mishmei de Rav, is it true what they say over the name that you said over the name of Rav? That Haiman Damaski Bezuzi. If somebody owes somebody money, Haiman Damaski Bezuzi. You're a Baal Chayv, you borrowed money, you owe somebody money. V'yisla Yarya, and now you have property, you have land. V'yosa Baal Chayv, now the Malva, the person lent you the money, comes to collect his money. V'katov Aminei, he says, give me the money, I gave you $1,000, I want $1,000 back. V'yomalei, so the Leiva said, Zil Shokam Yarya, you know I have a ground here, land, take the land. The land is worth $1,000. I'll pay you up with karka. So I heard over that you say over the name of Rava that Rava said, I'm reading lay. We tell the person, Zil Zovanat, the person has the Malva has a right to tell the Leiva, you go and sell the property. The IC, have lay, and give me the money. That's what the Leiva could say back. That's what the Malva could say back to the Leiva. When he comes to collect his money, and the Leiva only has karka, the Malva, the one that's collecting, has the right to say, I'm not going to take karka. You go and sell your property, and give me the money of it. So Rav Chama said back, Amalei Loi, no, I never said that over. Rav never said such a lach like that. That normal, when you go to collect money, if he has money, you get money. But if he only has karka, vada, you only take the karka. So he said, like, Emily Gufa the Yuvdech Hevi. But tell me exactly the story, the case that happened. In other words, still I heard over like this. I heard over such a maisom that they forced the Leiva to sell his property to give him money. So Omalei said back it was true, there was a case like that, but that was a special case. Omalei Toile Ma'isa B'yevikachavim Hevi. There the case was, really the Leiva had money. He really had $1,000 around. Just he said, you know what, when they came to collect the money, he told the people, this $1,000 belongs to a guy, it's not my money. So therefore, it's like a kenas. Since who also shloike hagen, he did something not nice by holding back his own money by saying it belongs to a guy. Instead of giving it, he said it belongs to a guy. Lefikach, therefore, also by shloike hagen. They also did something back to him, shloike hagen also. They said, true, even if you want to lie and say the money belongs to the guy, but listen, you do have property, you do have karka, we're going to force you, tell you to sell the karka and pay up with the money. But only because really the person had money. But in the case where the Leiva doesn't have any money on hand, all he has is just property, then the lacher is he has a right to pay up with the karka. And he doesn't have to sell it. If the Malva wants, the Malva could sell it. Omalei Rav Kan la Rav Papa. Rav Kana said to Rav Papa, Lididoch, according to you, Rav Papa, the Yamrit, your shita in Mesech Terechin is, that Priyas Baal Chayv Mitzvah. There's a mitzvah. If you borrowed money from somebody, when it comes time to pay back the money, it's a mitzvah. That's called the mitzvah saseh, to pay back the chayvus that you borrowed. Rashi says, the Pasuk says, Hin Tzedek, Shehein Shaloch Tzedek, V'lav Shaloch Tzedek. Come on, Bob Mitzvah. That since you said you would pay back, there's a mitzvah saseh to keep your words and to pay back. So therefore, Rav Kani asked Rav Papa, according to you, what's going to be lo nichalei del eved mitzvah? My, if the person doesn't want to pay the money back, he doesn't want to do the mitzvah, what can we do to him? So he says, Omalei said back, Tanina, we learned, that b'med v'orma murim, when do we give malchus, like Rashi says, when do we give somebody malchus deloik aboyim, b'mitzvah loisasei? If the person is being over a lav ha-teira, abo b'mitzvah sasei, when we're talking about to force somebody to do a mitzvah saseh, could go in like in a case. Shoim rim lo yaseh sukkah. We want to tell the person, it's sukkahs now, you have to eat inside the sukkah. We tell the person, go make a sukkah. V'yein oisven, the person doesn't listen, he doesn't want to make a sukkah. Or else lulav, we tell him, listen, go get yourself a lulav. It's sukkahs now, it's a mitzvah. V'yein oisven, the person doesn't want to do it. So what's the halacha? Halacha is in the mitzvah saseh, is makin oisai, achatechen ashrin. We have a right, Bezna has a right to hit him, to force him until he does the mitzvah. Rashi, makin oisai means, koidem sha'ovar al esai. Before he did, it was over the esai, v'yesh b'yod al-kayim. like Kol Zaman Sukkos is here, that he could do the mitzvah, the Shiva Sukkah, we beat him up. The Ezdin beats him up and forces him to do the mitzvah. Say Nachman here also, if a person doesn't want to pay up the chayiv, the Ezdin was forced to hit him to make sure he does this mitzvah sasrei priyas b'chayiv. By the boy minay Rami b'achom and Rav Chisda. Rami b'achom is the shalach from Rav Chisda. If somebody says to his wife, "Hareze gitcha, I'm writing you up a get now, and here's the get. But loytizgashi boy eliyachas shloishim yoyin. I only want you to use it the shoni bichal in 30 days from now. Not now, but in 30 days around. That's when it should be chal. For a whole chav and ichosa b'tzidu rishus rabim, and they put it down in the meantime by the side of rishus rabim. That's where the get was this past 30 days. So Rashi says, "V'yedenu shom liyachas shloishim." At the end of 30 days, the get is still there. So Shaila, could the get be chal now liyachas shloishim or not? So ma, what's the halacha? Omaleis, he answered back, "Ain't a megareshes. You should know the halacha is she's not megareshes. Since the get is in the tzidir rishus rabim, that's not called in her rishus and her makom. Therefore, the get cannot be chal." Midirav Ushmul from Rav Ushmul's halacha. And we had before the Rav and Shmuel the Yarmah Tavayu. They both said, "Vushet ziburin u'menochim b'shus harabim." It has to be left in the b'shus harabim. V'tzidei b'shus harabim k'b'shus harabim domi. Before we had a shaila when the father dies and he left over, let's say, peiros. He left over things, utensils he left over. So, and there was a case, there was his wife that wanted to collect the ksuba. There was a baal chayv, he owed somebody money, they wanted to collect the money. So the shaila was, who could take it? So Rav and Shmuel both learned, according to Rav Tarfin, that if this metaltlim now is in a Rishus Rabim, it's not Rishus of the Yorshim yet, therefore whoever chaps and whoever grabs it can keep it. So you see, if the object is in the Rishus Rabim, it's not called in the possession of the Yorshim yet. And we're saying now that the Tzidi Rishus Rabim, a side place of the Rishus Rabim, is also called like the Rishus Rabim Dami. So the pshat is that it's not in their rishus. See, also the get. If the get is only found in the tzidi rishus rabim, it's not called in her rishus. So mele the get can't be chal. Like lach shloishim yoyim, when the get is supposed to be chal, it has to be in her rishus. Like the get, the ksivas I get is still here. Everything would be good. If it would have been in her possession, it would be good. But since the get is in tzidi rishus rabim, that's not called in her rishus. And that's the raya from the mishpat din before, that the yoshim don't yashin this, that the other people, the baal chayv, or the isha, has a right to chap it. Mor says no, maybe say just the opposite, adarabo. Let's say just the opposite. Let's say mugareshes midirav Nachman. Maybe the get should be chal. It is called in her rishus. From Rav Nachman's halacha. The yomar Rav Nachman, omar rabba baravua. Hoi melechaveru. Somebody says to his friend, Moshech parazu. I want you to make a mashiach on my cow. I want to give you my cow. Make the kinyan right now. You take it and grab it and pull it towards your rishus. But I'm telling you, v'loy teikinu yilecho ad liyachas shloishim yoyim. But I don't want the kinyan to be chal, the chalos is only chal, in 30 days from now first. Right now, make the maisa kinyan, make the maisa mashiach, pull it, but it should not take effect until 30 days. So Rav Nachman says, kona, you should know the kinyan could be chal. V'yafilo oimedes biyagam. Even if late at the end of the 30 days is not in your rishus, as long as it's in a place like an agam, that's like a swampy place, kitzur, that's like a mokum with the rabbonin, that you could make kinyonim there, in other words, it's like a semi-private place, that we could see it belonging to you, that's enough to make the kinyon chal. So now my love isn't the svar to say, hainu agam, behainu tzidri rishus rabim, that the sides of the rishus rabim is not called like a rishus rabim dummy, it's not a public place, but shouldn't we say that the tzidi rishus rabim has the same halacha like an agam, like swamps, like a semi-private place, that the kinyan should be chal? Since you made a maaseh kinyan now, and you want it to be chal at the end of 30 days, if at the end of 30 days it's in a place like a simta, or like a tzidi rishus rabim, or an agam, that should be enough for the kinyan to be chal. So Gemara says, loy, I tell you no, there's no proof in Rav Nachman's din. I tell you, agam l'chud, true, Rav Nachman only said it's in a swampy place, that's taka like a semi-private place. There we see it in your rishus. There the kinyan could be chal after 30 days. But maybe v'tzidei rishus rabim l'chud. But the sides of rishus rabim, it's not daimatun agam. That's not enough of a private place. That's more. It looks more like a public place. And a public place is not a place that you own it. You can't be kind of something that's in it, even in the Ritzit of Rishas Rabin. So Zofar again would say, it's Ein Megareshes. And Nika the Amri, some want to say, Omalei Megareshes. He answered back, no, you should know the Get is Chal. And me the Rav Nachman from Rav Nachman Talocha, and Einachanami, that's Vitzide, Rishas Rabin, Kagam Dami. He wanted to say yes, and Sabar right here, that the sides of the Rishas Rabin, since it's not a place that the main public walks there, so it's not like a public property, but it's a private place. Just when it gets too crowded in the Rishas Rabin, they walk there also. So that makes like a semi-private place. That has the same halacha like an agam. But just like Rav Nachman says in the Yagam, you are koina, here also the get is chal. That's what he answered. Out of this, the Gemara says back, no, maybe Adarabu, why don't you say just the opposite? Einu megareshes mid Rav Shmuel. Why didn't you say rather Tzidi v'shus Rabim is doima to Rav and Shmuel's halacha that you see you're not koina v'shus Rabim, you're not koina? So my love, heinu v'shus Rabim, heinu Tzidi v'shus Rabim. Just like in the v'shus Rabim, you're not koina. That's why Rav and Shmuel says the Ba'choy v'disha could chap it, because the Yarshim were not koina it yet. So the Chura Tzidu Rishas Rabim should be the same way that you're not kind of something in the Tzidu Rishas Rabim. And on this, the answer is no, loy, no. I'll tell you, Rishas Rabim Lechud, Vetzide Rishas Rabim Lechud. True, Rabin Shmuel says that if the property, if this metaltlin, if the peiris, the fruits, are in the Rishas Rabim, then the Yarshim were not kind of it yet. Therefore, the Baal Choy Bodhisha could grab it. Bashenka, and if it was in it, see the Rishus Rabim, that's a semi-private Rishus, there we would see it, Rishus Yoshim, or here, the get would be Chal. Mashat, that's what we're asking, that she would be Megareshes. Even though Taisha speaks out, we're talking about over here, for the Yom Aloy Meyachshav, married. Yet, like the Gemara put on the case before, that you're saying you want to get to be Chal Meyachshav, Leyachash Shleshim Yoim. It's like Lach Alamid Yoim, we look as if the get was Chal Amafreya. So therefore, since the time you made the get, you gave it over to her. And at the end of the Shleishim Yom, it's in its city, which is around him, that's enough for the get to be chal. In the Chanami, still the get is chal. So that's the Mishnah. Ha Moishiv es Ishtoi Chinvonis. If a man made his wife the head of his store, he has a store, and he put his wife in charge of the store, Oishemin Apatrupia, or else he appointed her to take over his affairs, that he has a business, and she's now the one to take over the business life. She's going to watch the transactions, what comes in and what goes out. So the locher is, Hareza Mashpia, Kolza Manshi Yitzah. The locher is, the husband has the right to make his wife swear whatever he wants. This is one of the Kornos Chachomim. It's a mission in Shavuos like this, that Harisa is Vapatropis, is Mashpia Mecholais. If somebody appoints somebody else to take over his business, or to watch over his things, you have a right to make him swear to you any time you want that he's doing truthfully. He's not stealing, he's not jipping you, he's doing the right way. You have a right to make him swear. So we're saying now the same thing applies to your wife. If you appoint your wife to be the apotropis or to be the chenvenis, you have a right to make her swear to you any time you want that she's not jipping you. She's doing everything the right way. Rebbe Lezer adds to this, that afilo al tilcho v'alissosa. You're even allowed to make your wife swear if she stole, she took a spindle, what do you call a needle, like if she's weaving with the pilcha, the alisasa, with her dough. Even the regular work that she does in the house, also, you're allowed to make your wife swear that she's not taking extra dough, or she's not ruining your needles. So we'll see in the Gemara, what's John Yabaleza? Iboili, we have a sharp question like this now. Rabbi Eliezer, that he says that a husband has a right to make his wife swear, even on the dough that she makes, she's not jipping him. She's not taking the dough and selling it to somebody else, or giving it away. That you have a right to make your wife swear, is a depshat ay de gilgul kamar. A gilgul shvuah, the pshat is, really, for this alone, you don't have a right to make her swear. If you would just go and say, I have doubts of you stealing my dough, she could say, I'm not mechuyav to swear. Gilgul means, once you have to make me a swear, swearing from someplace else, the moshe, when she's in the business for you, or she's in the store for you, and then you have a right to make her swear, so Gilgul means once she has to swear for that, you have a right to also make her swear for these things also. These things alone, she doesn't have to swear, it's only if she swears for something else, you could also cause her to swear this also. That's the shaila. Maybe that's what Reb Lezer meant. Oy, maybe no, look at Chilukomer.
Maybe Rabbi Elazar meant even without a Gilgal Shavua, even though there's no Shavua at all, still directly can make your wife swear to you that she did not take the spindle or she did not take the extra dough. That's the Shaila. Did Rabbi Elazar go so far to even make her swear of these things or not? Yeah. And the pshat would be is that even for the things of the daily household, she's also called an apotropis. Like she takes care of the household. So therefore you have a right to make her swear she didn't take too much sugar, she didn't take too much flour. Even for the everyday household stuff, you could also make her swear. That's the Shiloh. So Toshima, come and bring your proof. Omru le Rebbe Elazar, they said to Rebbe Elazar, ein adam darim nachish bechvifa. He should know, if the husband has a right to make his wife swear for every little thing, she's not going to be able to take him. A person can't live like with a snake in the same basket. Now that was the taina, that you can't make your wife swear on every little thing. So now, if you want to tell me that Rebbe Elazar holds that the husband can make his wife swear for these little things, he could go to her directly without any other shmua. And just say, I want you to swear you didn't use too much dough today. I want you to swear you didn't take too many needles today. So if that's what Rebbe Elazar holds, then shapir. Is good what the Rabbanan answered back to Rebbe Elazar and says, no, a husband can't be so strict on his wife. His wife won't be able to live that way. Eli Yarmut, but if you want to tell me, Ayide Gilgal, that the only reason now we can make her swear these things, if first it starts off with another Shavua, and once he has to swear anywhere, he adds this into it, so then, my nafku let me know, what does it bother her? In other words, since she has to swear anyway, what's the bother to her? She'll swear for another thing also. So why should the Rabbanan say like it's a Svara, don't bother your wife so much, she's going to get angry. Why should she get angry? So Gemara says, yes, still she'll get angry. To Yom Rele, she's going to answer back and say, Kiva the Kodaikis Basroi Kulihai, since you are checking after me so much, Lemetzino Dieda Badoch, still she'll come and say, I can't live with you. If you're going to check me out every little thing I do, even Ayide Gilgal, true, I became your business partner now, I'm taking over the store, so for those things they understand you want to make me swear, that I didn't steal the money, I gave out the right way, but if you're going to make me swear also, even Ayide Gilgal, about the dough in the house, that's too much, it's going to bother the wife too much, therefore the Rabbanan say, the husband can't make us swear these things. So we don't have a raya, what's the pshat in Rebbe Elazar yet? Toshima, come and bring another proof. It says clearly, Harei shaloi poter es ishtoi min haneder min hashvua. It's real, the next Mishnah we'll see. But if a man did not say, make a clear statement, that he's freeing his wife and making the dorah or making shvuas for him. In other words, in a normal case, that the wife sometimes does have to swear to her husband. There are cases that the husband first makes a statement, I free you from any shvua, that I'll never be able to make you swear to me. Okay. But if a husband did not say that, Harei Shaloi Potter, he did not free his wife from making a neder or to swearing from him. Veheshiva Chenvonis, and now the husband appointed her to take over the store. Oy Shemina Petrupa, or else she pointed him over his business. She's taking care of the business now. The locher is Harei Zem Ashpia Kol Zaman Shayirza. The husband, like the Mishnah says, has the right to make his wife swear to him whenever he wants. That you're doing everything right, you're not jipping me, not taking any extra money. Anytime he wants, he can make a swear. What about Lohi Shibu Chenvenis? Let's say the husband did not appoint his wife to be the storekeeper, take care of the store. For Lohi not Petrupi, or else he did not appoint his wife to be the head of his business. Then the locher is Eina Yochul Yashbiya. He cannot make his wife swear for things about the daily life in the house. That's the Chachom Shita. You can't make your wife swear if she took too much sugar, she took too much coffee today, the coffee jar was used up too much, you get angry, swear you didn't give it away. You can't make her swear these things. But Rebbe Elazar says no. Alpha P Shaloi Hoshiva Chenvenis. Even in the case that the husband did not appoint her to take charge of the store. For Lemina Petrupia, you did not appoint her to take over your business. So you can't make her swear these other type of shuas. But still, in the everyday daily life, in the household stuff, is Hareza Mashpia. You're still allowed to make your wife swear to you. Kol Zaman Shayirza. Shein Locha Isha Shlanatas Apatropis Shrachas Pechaya Baila. Al Tilcho Viali Sosa. That's the Svara. On the daily life stuff, in the house, the household stuff, your wife is also like the Apatropa. She also takes care of it. Like she's in charge of your dough. She's in charge of your needle to weave things. So therefore, a blessed shittur is your husband's allowed to make his wife swear, even for these small things in the daily life household. So you see, clearly, Reb Lezer's svar is not only ayde gugul, not only when you made your wife to take care of the store or take care of the business, that you can make a swear for those things, so you could also add on his small shvua of the household stuff. No, Reb Lezer's even the chetchila at the beginning, you have a right just to make a swear for the household stuff. Omru loy, and this Rabbanan answered back and said, it's too much. Ein odem darim nachash bechvifa. Your wife can't take this. A wife is a mush like a snake. You can't live together with a snake in the same basket. The wife will complain, I can't live with my husband. If my husband, every little thing is going to make me swear to him, I can't take it. But I call upon him Shemamin, if we have a proof that lechatchila Shemamina. We see that the pshat from Reb Lezer is that he does not need a gilgul shrua. Even though there's no other shrua involved, even though the husband did not appoint to take care of the store, no business, stam in the household alone, the husband has the right to make his wife swear. Right, the next Mishnah says, what's going to be now, cost of law if a husband writes to his wife, who then he tells his wife, that neder u'shivua ein li alecha. You should know, I'll never make you swear to me, I'll never make you make a neder to me. You'll never have to swear to me. That's what the husband says. So alecha is ein yochol liyashbiya. It's true. So husband now can never make his wife swear, even though he appoints his wife to take care of the store, or the wife takes care of the business, he cannot make a swear to him. Let's say the wife dies, and the daughter is yarshin her, they want to collect the ksuba, so then the husband has the right to make them swear that they did not collect any money yet. Or else, let's say she sold her ksuba to somebody else, and now when the husband gives her a gift, so this other person wants to collect the ksuba. So this other person that's coming now, they have a right to, the husband has a right to make them swear. He only freed his wife from swearing to him directly. But if somebody else has to swear, the husband has a right to make them swear. What about the husband said like this? He told his wife, Neder u'shvua ein li yolecho v'yal yorshecho v'yal haboyim v'rishusecho. The husband told his wife, or wrote to his wife, you should know, I'm not going to make you ever swear to me, or else your yorshim, whoever's going to take over your money, or else anybody else, like if you sold the ksuba to somebody else, whoever comes in your place to collect money from me, I'm not going to make them swear. That's what the husband told his wife. So it's taka true. So halacha is, and the yochol lihashbiya, the husband cannot make her swear, lohi, not she, for lo yasher, if she dies, her yoshim, to not have to swear to him, for lo yasher boim b'shusa. If she sells a ksuba, the person that comes to collect it, the husband cannot make him swear. Avol, but what's going to be, let's say the husband dies, and the yoshim now take over. Avol yoshav, the husband's yoshim, mashbiya noisa, they can make her swear. When the husband dies, now she wants to come and collect her ksuba. So lochri, she collects from the yoshim. The yoshim have a right to make her swear and say, I want you to swear that my father didn't pay you anything. Even though she doesn't have to swear to the father, only to the father she doesn't have to swear. To her husband she doesn't have to swear. But if the yoshim take over, she has to swear to the yoshim. Avu yoshav mashbiya noisa v'yes yosher, in the case where she dies and the yoshim are coming to collect, v'yes aboyim v'shusa. Or else in the case where she sold the ksuba and this other person now is coming to collect the ksuba and the father dies and the kids now have to pay it up, the kids, the yoshim, have a right to make them swear. But what's going to be if the father first told his wife, the husband told his wife like this, Yishano neder u'shvua ainli. I'm not going to make you swear or make a neder. For lo yorshai, not to my yorshim. For lo boyim brishusi, and not anybody takes over my affairs. Olecha, I'm not going to let any one of us make either you swear, for yao yorshech, or else if you die, and your children take over, they want to collect the money, I'm not going to make them swear, for yao haboyim brishusecha. And anybody else that comes to collect your money, like when you sold your ksuba and you want somebody else to come and collect it, I'm not going to make them swear either. So if the husband made all these conditions, that me and my Yorshim and my Boyim can't make you and your Yorshim and your Boyim swearing. The Locher is true, that Ein HaYochol Yashbiya, the husband cannot make swear, Loihu, not the husband, for Lo Yorshim, not his kids, Loi HaBoyim B'Shusay, not anybody taking over his property. Loi Oysa, they can't make his wife huswear, for Lo Yosher, if she dies, her Yorshim do not have to swear, for Loi HaBoyim B'Shusay. So the third party comes and collects the money for her, where she sold the ksuba, that you also do not have to swear. Kids, if you made such a tonight, it's like a true, that neither of them have to swear. What's going to be now? Holcha mikovar baila. Rahmanas, her husband died, and they made the kfura. They buried the husband. And after the kfura, after they buried him, she went lebesavia. She went home to her father's house. Oh, you're else. She went back to her husband's house. Beis Chemiya always means the father-in-law's house. She went back to his house, to the husband's house. For loinasis apotropia. And she did not come in apotropia. She did not take over the property, take care of his business deals or the store. She did not take over. So lochur is, eina yorshin mashbiyin oisa. So yorshin now, the sons that yashin, the father, cannot make her swear. She does not have to swear at all. What about though the Yimnasis? This is all because the father made the Tanoim before. That the father made the Tanoim that she does not have to swear, and his Yoshim cannot make her swear either. So therefore, still she does not have to swear. Just to collect her ksuba, she does not have to swear to the Yoshim. But what's going to be though the Yimnasis apatrupia? Let's say now after the husband dies, when she comes home, she takes over her husband's store or the husband's business. She takes it over. She works for him. The halacha is then Hayoshin Mashbiyin Oisoy Alosalovi. The Yoshim have a right to make a swear from now on. And Rashi says Al Eisik Shalacha Misa. That she works after the husband dies. Shalaikva Biyodiklum. That she did not hold back any money from then on. Tahashta Nechosin Diyasmininu. Because from then on, once the husband dies, the property now belongs to the kids. Even though true the husband patted her, that she would not have to swear that Sony calls the man the Nechosim belong to the father. But now that the father died, and the Nechosim go to the kids, so the kids are the Bailam over the Nechosim. So now if she becomes an apotropis, she works for them, and she takes over, like the Mishnah in Shavuos, that you have a right to be Mashbir, your apotropis. Anytime you want, you have a right to make them swear that they're doing everything but tzedek, they're not stealing from you. That's a loch that al osid lovoy. You let her make a swear. But the past, what happened before, when the husband was alive, that you can't make him swear. Can't make her swear. Why? Because the husband already said that kol zman nechosam belong to me, I'm not going to make you swear. So that helps. The Mishnah is also explaining that helps what the husband said. Kol Zaman, the husband did not die and the Yorshim did not take it over. But once the husband dies and the Yorshim take over the property, and now she works for them, it's called like a new apotropis. She's an apotropis now for the Yorshim. So Yorshim didn't make any tnoim not to be mashbiyah. Therefore the Yorshim have a right still to be mashbiyah. Mikana labor, she has to swear, ala asid lavoi, she has to swear to the Yorshim that she didn't jip them, she doesn't take anything away from their business. Now the Mishnah, the Mar explains like this. Mar says, Shvuos Maya Vidita. What type of a shvu are we talking about? Rashi says, Eze Shvuos Tam. Sheisha Chayevus Labaila or Liyosho. The Tony Lechilai Potro Mashbia. Vechi Potro Mashbia. Like, what is our Mishnah talking about? This new Yisoid, that if the husband says, I'm freeing you from swearing to me, good. She doesn't have to swear. But if the husband does not free her, mashma, then she does have to swear. What type of a shvu are we talking about? Some Rav Yudam Rav says, ala petrupia shenasis b'chaya baila. We're talking about a case where the husband appointed her to be the apotropis. He made her take over his business. And therefore, like the Mishnah in Shvua says, namal, when you appoint an apotropis, you have a right to be mashmir then whenever you want. So therefore, even the husband has a right to make his wife swear. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that if the husband freed his wife from making shvuas, she's even free from swearing this shvu also. That's what Rav Yudam Rav says. Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua Ala Pagemes Ksubasa. Another case of a shua wife would have to make is pogemes ksubosof. That means she's pogem, she took a little bit of a ksuba. The amount of the ksuba, let's say 200, and let's say in the middle of the life, when they're living together still, she needs money. So she tells the husband, you know what, give me money now in the cheshbon of my ksuba. And take off, like you only owe me now 175. So later, if he gives her a gift, or he dies, and she goes to collect the ksuba, the locher is she has to swear. To collect the rest of the ksuba, that's a takona, she has to swear that she only received this much and not more. That's called pagemes ksubasa. Like she used up some money of the ksuba, she was pagim, she took away some of the ksuba. If she wants to collect the rest of the money, she has to swear first.
All right, turn off.